were surprised by it. I'm glad you were entertained by it, because that's why I pay money to go to the movies, is to be surprised and entertained. You know, the way we were able to do it is I was lucky enough to be able to sort of come onto this film. It had been in development in various stages for quite some time before I was made part of it. And that was a little, I got the phone call like 5 years ago to check out this movie and see if I was interested in directing it. And over the course of the next 4 years, we did do that. And it was gathering the right people, getting the right team of people together to hopefully work together and collaborate to make the right decisions. And Elton John was certainly part of that. Bernie Taupin was part of that. James Newton Howard, who helped with our score, he composed our score, along with Chris Bacon, his associate. They all played a big part in how we could make the music help the story and cue the audience into the emotions. And, you know, I never looked at it as anything related to Toy Story. I saw it as, okay, we have Miss Montague's Blue Garden, Mr. Capulet's Red Garden, and when they leave, they're gnomes that guard their little gardens in the back. They have so many of them. They're over-decorated. They have a little society of their own that the humans don't know about. I mean, that sort of conceit was not invented by the Toy Story movies. That conceit was in Lady and the Tramp. That's been, you know, the Steadfast Tin Soldier, Babes in Toyland. I mean, it goes way back that the idea of inanimate objects coming to life when humans are gone, or animals coming to life and having the world of their own when humans are gone. So I didn't even think of that. I just made the movie that I thought was appropriate to the story, tried to make it entertaining, and tried to remain true to a lot of the plot points of the play while still keeping it funny and entertaining. So, you know, it really, just like anything else, it was an evolutionary process that takes place when you develop these stories.
Okay. So you've worked on different animation mediums, like from 2D classic and to stop motion. So what is it like working with the computer generated animation?
You know what? It's funny, from a director's standpoint, and from any standpoint that I've been, because I've either been an art director or a storyboard artist or a director, it's exactly the same. It's all storytelling, and the medium through which you tell it is the same. I mean, there's really no difference from my perspective. As a director, I don't really keep in mind whether it's 2D or 3D or anything. I just say, what's the story about? What are the characters doing? What are the characters feeling? Do I care? Does the audience care? How do we make the audience care? And all the other part of it's the medium or the paintbrush that we're using for that particular painting, if you will. It's not, I don't think there's a difference in the storytelling aspects of those mediums. Certainly visually you have other choices and depending on what you're doing, but whatever story you're telling, you hopefully are telling it in the appropriate format.
Okay. So speaking of characters, I noticed you worked with a lot of actresses and actors and actresses with the Sir and Dame title. What was that like?
What was the last part? With what?
With the Sir and Dame title. What was that like?
Oh, right. You know what? That was great, because they're you know, Sirs and Dames are people too, and they came in the studio. Michael Caine and Maggie Smith and Patrick Stewart could not have been more accommodating to me as a director. They really worked hard to give me what I want. I like to read with the actors myself so that I can really have get the energy in the scene that I'm trying for, because there are a lot of times they're working in a void. They work with no one else in the studio but themselves. So I would go in the studio with them and read the cues and try to the best of my ability, get the energy that I needed from them or the emotion I needed. They gave me a lot of choices. They were absolute pros, and I hope to work with all of them again, because it was really a joy and a privilege to be able to work with those actors. My goodness. But in terms of, they were no different than, you know, the people who are not knighted. In fact, all the actors in this movie, I'm so happy with all of them that they're all royalty in my book, so I'm happy.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask about that too. What was it like working with the newer generation of British actors and actresses? But I guess you answered that.
Yeah, they were. You know, they're all hardworking, generous actors. They really are. And again, I struck a gold with this movie in terms of being able to work with these actors. They could not have been, I mean, they were all absolutely wonderful, and I looked forward to recording sessions.
So now that you've worked with like DreamWorks and sort of, you know, Pixar helped you produce this, what's it like working with these two different companies?
Well, Pixar had nothing really to do with this movie.
Okay.
It was Touchstone Films. We were with Miramax, and then Miramax, of course, was dissolved and sold, and we then moved into Touchstone. We made the film at Starz Animation in Toronto, who actually was the production facility, and frankly, Starz, in my book, Starz is as good an animation company as anywhere in the world. So those were the companies, and you know, it was great working with all those people. I mean, everyone was very supportive, and it was a smaller group of people, so there were fewer cooks in the kitchen, if you will, which made it certainly better for me as a director. But I, you know, I've been lucky. I've worked throughout my career on movies where the people I worked with were great. I mean, Jeffrey Katzenberg and I mean, I worked with him for 17 years, and mm-hmm. I consider him a lifelong friend. We still communicate, and, you know, I think it just depends. Every movie has its own personality, in a way, and they all have their own way of getting made, and no two are alike, and it's a big adventure every time. It's a voyage of discovery whenever you set out to make one of these animated features, and they all take a long time, so you better make it good for yourself.
Right, right. So back to the movie. Was there anything you wanted to add from the play, or anything you wanted to add that wasn't added?
Well, the only thing we did with the play, I mean, we went beat for beat for the play. We have 1 minute, by the way.
Okay.
Beat for beat with the play, and the ending was the only thing that we had fun with, and that was basically Nomeo. We decided it was funny that he should meet the statue of William Shakespeare, who tells him the real story of Romeo and Juliet.
Right.
And when Nomeo hears the tragic ending, he says, "Well, that's not going to happen to me." And the third act in our story is Nomeo and Juliet fighting to keep a tragedy from happening. And how can they do that? And will they succeed? Those are the big questions, you know, that I hope drive the third act.
Yeah. So are there any new projects you're working on? Final question.
I'm just reading a bunch of stuff, and I'm getting married in May, so my next project is getting married. And then I'll see what happens.
Well, all right then. Thank you very much, Mr. Asbury.